All right, we're recording. I'm going to have problems speaking today. Yay!
I'm going to have problems focusing today. That's not a shocker. I always have problems focusing.
I didn't know what you wanted me to respond to that.
Apparently, laughter is enough. It is raining here right now, so if you hear the ominous sound of thunder, that is not a sound effect.
And if you hear Rugrats in the background, that's my daughter watching Rugrats.
If you hear us screaming, it means someone's attacking us. Go call 911.
Except this could be months later.
That's true. In that case, I'm pretty sure we're all okay. It's just superficial cuts and bruises, and they didn't catch the guy, which is kind of freaking me out, but, you know, hopefully.
We haven't even, like, started the
show. Oh, right. Welcome to Yip Podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yip. And today on the show, we are featuring an interview with Sherry Wheatley. She spent some time with the Belly Dance Superstars. Now she travels around and does awesome workshops and has some classes out in LA. So you're going to be hearing an interview that I took with her later on.
Just like a ridiculously beautiful person.
And she is like super nice. You could just chill out and watch a movie and eat popcorn nice.
Neat. Maybe I'll invite her over.
Super cash.
I love sitting, watching movies, and eating popcorn.
I mean, I don't know if she eats popcorn, but, like, she's a very comfortable person to be around. Anyway, so, Tammy, what's going on with you?
Well, Mary, I don't think I ever did a recap of my wonderful adventures in Birmingham.
I don't remember, but I don't think you did either.
Well, edit it out of the other show if I did. Because this is going to be amazing.
So how was teacher training?
Oh my God, it was so much fun. But first, the most awesomest piece, well, not the most awesomest piece. The most awesomest piece was getting my certification. But the second awesomest piece was watching Beats Antiques perform with Zoe dancing.
So jealous.
So we go in, and it was like a smaller venue, and it was raining outside, and we just wanted to get in the venue, and there's some random chick hula hooping in the corner. It's like, oh my
gosh.
There
always is.
She actually just follows me around. I'm just like, wow, there's that random chick again.
You know, you're watching Twin Peaks right now, and that sounds very Twin Peaks. Do you know what I mean? Have any of you guys out there seen Twin Peaks? Tammy is watching it for the first time.
And I'm killing myself. I'm watching one a week. So I don't know how people did it back in the day, but seeing it on Netflix.
When I watched it, the ones that I watched them like straight through. I watched like 6 or 7 episodes a day. And then I got to the one episode in season 2 that made me so angry, I stopped watching it. So I still haven't seen the end. Maybe I'll watch the end when Tammy watches it.
I'm just going to force you to come over and watch it with me.
Anyway, back to the hula hooping.
But yeah,
chick.
So the random Twin Peaks hula hooping girl was in the corner. And and the show gets started, and Beats Antiques came on, and Zoe came out in like this cat outfit and like this huge drum. And so she played the drum for the beginning, and I kind of thought, like, maybe she's not dancing with that. Maybe she's just drumming. That'll be interesting. Still good, you know, still excited. And then she like left and she went and changed, and she performed during various numbers, and she would drum and switch on and off and like dance or drum or dance drum. But this girl had like 7 or 8 costume changes easily. She was beautiful. One of the songs she was spinning, and I counted like 30 some odd spins in a row.
You know what we call that in the business? Show off. Big show off. That's impressive, though.
It was very impressive. Now, they weren't like all the same, you know, they weren't like all paddle turns or whatever. So they were a mix of different kinds
of
spins.
I think that's more impressive.
It is. It is. Like, she would then throw in like barrel turns, and then she would just go back into spins, and she would do paddle turns. It was insane. That's why I had to start counting, because I was like, all right, I want to know how many she's doing. This is ridiculous. But anyway, so it was like a group of us that ended up going from teacher training. So that was kind of a fun way to get to know everyone as well. This concert ended up lasting for like 2 hours. Some of the girls actually ended up leaving early because we had class in the morning.
You were like, forget it.
Exactly. You know, I'm like, I'm out. I have no kid with me right now. I'm going to party it out.
And party.
I will study tomorrow. And boy, did I. I can't divulge all the things that go on in teacher training.
Dun, dun, dun.
But regardless, it's 2 days. It was awesome. I learned so much. The one thing I can say is Carolina is excellent at giving critique. And I think that is a skill that a lot of people should learn. Carolina is just so, she's so, I don't want to say loving, but she's so gentle. Mm-hmm. And the way she critiques, and she kind of makes you think about the correct way of doing it. Why is what you were doing making it maybe difficult for you, making mm-hmm. it difficult on your students? How would you be able to improve that? How could you explain something differently? It almost came off like, you know, you were still learning even as she was just critiquing you. You didn't feel bad about it. So it was just an awesome overall experience, and I'm happy to say I'm now teacher certified in Fat Chance Belly Dance.
And if she ever finds a studio space,
exactly,
she'd become a sister studio, and then we'd have two sister studios in Orlando,
which would be awesome. I think
that'd
that's
be
so
crazy.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, going from zero to two, like, that's awesome. So yeah, so now I gotta find a studio. Okay, so I'm not really working on that, but at the moment. But anywho, so that's my recap, and I had a blast, and Birmingham was a lovely little town. The traffic was a little crazy. It reminded me of Atlanta. You know, Atlanta's traffic is a bit crazy.
I don't like Atlanta.
A bit crazy.
I mean, as you know, I don't mind Atlanta. I just don't like the traffic. I don't like knowing that you're on a 14-lane road.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
freaks me out.
Yeah, Birmingham wasn't like that, like, but the streets,
they're really narrow.
Some of the streets are narrow, and they just kind of curve off in weird directions that,
and you never see those people again.
Exactly. But thankfully, where I stayed, I didn't have to drive very far, and I had to drive to go pick up other students, and I was like a chauffeur, basically, because I drove up there and had my car. My hotel was close to the host hotel, I guess you could call it. The hotel where pretty much everybody else.
Whenever I hear the word host, I think about aliens. Like,
she was the host.
I don't think that this was a nice hotel. I don't know if they had aliens there. I mean, who's to say?
I don't know either. I wasn't there. Did you meet Maria Palacio?
Yes, I did. She was in my car with me.
Weird.
I hope I drove well enough for her. The first day it was embarrassing because, like, okay, I don't parallel park. Like, I can't. I have problems with it. So I ended up parking, like, 3 blocks away from the hotel. So I huffed it over. Their girls are, like, waiting outside. And I'm like, just so you know, we're going to be walking a little bit to the car.
Nice.
Yeah. See, I've just decided I want one of those cars that parallel parks for you. I'm like, how does it do that?
Magic.
That's what I think. So anyway, that's pretty much what's going on with me. Otherwise, I'm like working like crazy, but what else is new? So what's going on with you, Mary?
Like, some stuff is going on with me.
No way.
Way. First of all, I would like to say that I did go ahead and I bought the Create a Combo cards.
Awesome!
From Gia Alkamar, and I got them in the mail a couple days ago.
You didn't even tell me.
I wanted to be some surprise. Surprise, Tammy, here's my card.
Oh my God, they're so cool.
I know, they're pretty. Okay, so there are different sections. If you look on the back of the cards, there's shimmy cards. And on those five, there's like Tunisian shimmy, choo-choo shimmy, hip shimmy, like all these different shimmies. I'm not going to tell you all of them because I've been giving it away. You have to order your own deck. There's traveling moves. There's stationary moves. And then there's also some cards, which crosses into what my brilliant plan was the last time I talked about these cards, where I was going to put some different additions on top of the moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she didn't go into the intense detail that I'm planning to go into with my personal deck. But I don't think I even ventured here. She has some emotion cards. So once you have your basic moves on, here are some emotions you can layer on, which I really liked. The inclusion of these, like, you just don't think about it sometimes. You just go, you know, 4 steps to the right, 4 steps to the left, and hip circle, and shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. So, you know, she has emotion cards like sorrow and love.
Wow.
You know, so just some food for thought after you've put together your combination, just to remember that there's more being expressed in your dance than just the moves. So I am very, very excited about them. Here, I'll let you touch them.
Which move am I touching?
Anyway, so those were the Create a Combo cards. Oh, you know, something else that's going on with me. Well, going on with us, really. So Easter, who is out in the Bay Area, sent us some lavender wands that she made.
Oh my God, I can't wait to get mine.
I want to give it to you today, but I forgot it at home on my desk.
But I did see the pictures you posted on Facebook, so I'm pretty excited.
Aren't they totally cute?
They are. I can't, like, I really can't wait to see it in person.
I can't believe she made them.
I know.
I'm keeping the green one. It's mine. You can have the purple and the pink one because I know purple and pink are favorite
colors. Shut up.
Okay, I was like, what else is going on? Oh, so blog stuff, first of all. I'm not going to go into a bunch of detail because I've been reading a bunch of blogs the past couple days, and I'll just turn into this weird blog regurgitation factory if I don't catch myself.
We've already been to Twin Peaks.
I was on the Kentuckiana Middle Eastern Dance Review, and she wrote this post called On Being Challenged, and I just loved it. I'm just going to read the first little bit. So a remarkable thing happened to me this past weekend. I became a first-rate dancer. Now, let's not argue the semantics of what that means, because it's not important to this post. What is important is that we talk about how this happened and why it is important. It's just this, I don't know if she meant it to be as feel-good as I felt reading it. Like, I don't know how serious she was about it or whatever, but I loved the story. At the end of the post, she tacked something on about instructors and how it's really important to have a instructor that not only encourages you, but pushes you to really challenge yourself and to really grow as a dancer. It was a good post, so I enjoyed reading that. Oh, I was on the Belly Whisperer blog.
Yes.
On an earlier post that she said, which I had read before, but I hadn't finished reading. Anyway, she was posting some of the blogs that she reads a lot. And one of them was The Occidental Dancer. Have you been on that blog?
I feel like I have.
Well, I had not been on that blog, The Occidental Dancer. It's by The Ricasa, which sounds very glamorous. It's got all this fun stuff. This writer has a really, really cool voice, like very dry sense of humor. She posted something at the beginning of June about tattoos of dancers on dancers. She was like,
I on there?
No, but I thought you should have been, which is why I thought of it. She's just funny. She's really funny. You should check out her blog if you haven't read The Occidental Dancer. She's good.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I read like one blog post at some point. But I don't have her in my reader, so I must not. Maybe I didn't read her. Maybe I've just heard about her or something.
Okay, here's an example of her writing style. The first tattoo is of this belly dancer who's not quite proportional. Something's a little skewy about the dancer that was tattooed. And she's kind of in a layback, and it just looks a little off. And she says, from such and such blog spot, we have this spineless lady who's seemingly made of Play-Doh. And in the process of being raptured, we can only assume that parts of her legs are already bound for the big hoffle in the sky.
Oh, my God.
That was funny.
I do have something to mention. We're talking about all, you know, different blogs and stuff. Again, going to mention hitmix.net. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last recording or not. We were mentioned. We're part of their A-list bloggers.
You mentioned that.
Okay, good. Then go on.
But we still are.
Yes, we still are.
Word to your mother. I hope we still are.
Yes, we are. Whew. I'm on their website right now.
Close call. So. Oh, on other random things that I've been thinking about, I would like to recommend the National Geographic Photo of the Day blog because it's very calming. So if life is stressing you out, just get on the National Geographic Photo blog of the day and it'll calm you. I have the most beautiful picture up as my desktop wallpaper right now. It's of like these trees in Germany during the fall, and the leaves are this like almost neon pink. They're like this fuchsia color and they're just papering this path, and it just looks fake. It's gorgeous. I hope it's not fake.
It's just really a painting. I'm going to look at it and be like,
no,
Mary, obviously that's a painting.
Stop it. You're depressing me. Oh, so in other random news, this has nothing to do with anything. Well, I mean, it has vaguely to do with belly dance stuff. So, trying to get back in the sewing groove, you know, my goal is to sew some more stuff that's like capri length stuff for dance because it's really comfy. Summer gets so hot.
Look, I've got pajamas. I got to sew Josie that I've been saying
all the time. Those pajamas are never getting done.
The pants are done. I should just make her wear the pants.
What
are the pants? God.
You're right. Just let her run around without a shirt on.
Other people do. I mean, not her. But.
So, anyway. So, capri dance stuff. And I was also really proud of myself. I made a belt out of... I got this belt at like Ross or something that's just like 2-inch... You know, those like 2-inch wide elastic belts. It's just a piece of elastic with a buckle on it. Amazing. Fits all kinds of sizes because it's elastic. It has kind of a gold tone and I decided to make it into a chain belt. I did 2 loops on the side and then I did some longer drapey loops under my butt.
Cute.
To emphasize the boutée. I took like 4 different necklaces and then some random gold chain I had. Anyway. That my dad got me from a junkyard. Thanks, Dad.
You're always dad looking finds out. The coolest stuff.
That's because he goes to a lot of junkyards. He's got a problem.
He's got a junk problem.
It's okay. I go to a lot of fabric stores. No one's perfect.
We all have our vices.
I know. I think that's about as much dribbling on as I can do.
Okay.
I've talked about everything I want to talk about. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Tammy?
No. So, do you have music for us, Mary? Do you?
Do
you have music?
I do.
Music?
Oh my gosh. Most irritating episode ever. For reals. Okay, so for this music selection, we are going to be focusing on the fabulous Janelle Monáe. Have you heard of Janelle Monáe, Tammy?
I don't think so.
Well, let me tell you, I first became aware of her when watching So You Think You Can Dance, I think, last season. And she performed at some time or other. But she has a big poof on her head, and she wears like these shiny shoes, and she does this little chicka-chicka dance that did not describe well at all what kind of dancing she does. I'm sorry. I don't even know. She's a mixture of a bunch of different styles. The first song we are going to hear is called Dance or Die. Partially liked it just because it has the word dance in it. But it's also really good tempo for like a laid-back ATS number, which of course is important to us. I don't know if it's important to you guys out there, but it should be. If it's not, I'm sorry, I don't mean to tell you what to think. Think whatever you want to think.
Yeah, it might not be important to them, and that's cool.
But Dance or Die... Nice, cool song, a little, you know, little mellow, but it's got a good beat, groovy, groovy. The second song is called Sir Greendown, and I'm not going to talk too much about this until after we've heard it, Tammy, because I want you to sort of hear it, and then I'll be like, hey, did this make you think of, it's exciting. Okay, and then the third song is Come Alive, The War of the Roses. It's really fast, and it's got this wacky kind of... It kind of feels like a song that you would hear in, like, Beach Blanket Bingo. Sort of merged with 90s, like, punk music.
Okay.
You are going to like it, because I know that you like punk music. I don't know if you like Beach Blanket Bingo with Ned Funicello and the other
guy. I do like them.
Who was the other guy? Annette and... Billy, Johnny, Freddy, Frankie Avalon?
Yes.
Close call, Mouseketeers. Okay. So let's go. Rising and awaken, yes, here come the suns. Marching to the ruin with the kick of the drum. The wisest in the end, they got the bombs and the guns. So you might as well keep dancing if you're not gonna run.
You keep them held in contempt. Looking for a begins to cloud in my head. When everything is wrong, I dance inside my mind. That's when I come alive, like a kid so running wild. That's when I come alive. Now let's go wild.
All right, so you like the first one, Dance or Die, right?
Yeah.
Fun song. So for Sir Greendown, did it or did it not sound like 60s, early 70s James Bond theme song?
It did, with like a Hawaiian flair.
I know, and even the title is like Sir Greendown. Sir Greendown, Goldfinger. Burr, burr, burr. So,
whoa.
I really liked that one. And yeah, so like the Come Alive one, did it sound 60s/90s punk?
It did. For those listening, I don't know if any of you guys remember the group Save Ferris, but that's what it sounded. And it sounded like the chick that was the lead singer for them as well.
Crazy.
It was awesome.
I was thinking that because it goes Come Alive, I was like, it should be like a zombie theatrical number inspired. If you do that, give me some credit.
Yes.
Because it was my idea. Oh, I'm really aggressive today.
Maybe it was the Dance or Die song.
I know. I don't know. I'm easily influenced. Okay, so that is that. End scene. Well, we are finished with our first music selection, and now let's go straight into the interview with Sherry Wheatley. All right, this is Married Me Up Podcast, and with me is Sherry Wheatley. Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Let's get some basics out of the way. Like, how long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing in general since mm-hmm. I was 5. I was really, really shy as a kid, and my mom thought that would be a good way to socialize me. And so I started off in ballet, and then jazz, modern, in high school, hip-hop, and more jazz. And I didn't discover belly dance, really, until I think it was the year 2000 or 2001, and I saw Urban Tribal perform. Mm-hmm. And that was, I had seen other more traditional styles of belly dance, but I never really became completely just overwhelmed by the need to learn it until I saw Urban Tribal perform. So I immediately pounced on them after the performance and said, does someone teach? Which is really uncharacteristic for me, because I'm usually kind of shy and I wouldn't be so bold, but I was just absolutely blown away. So yeah, so I started studying with Heather, and I couldn't have asked for a better teacher, especially to really start with. I know so many people that don't have those kinds of resources available to them, so they're teaching themselves with DVDs, and I'm just so grateful that I had someone as strong as Heather. I have a lot of reverence for her.
Did you join the company while you were with her?
I did, yeah. I studied with her for, I don't know, maybe like a year and a half or so, maybe 2 years, and then I was asked to be a member of the company. So I think my first big performance with them was Tribal Fest in 2003.
Ooh. Now, are you still a member of her company, or do you perform just as a soloist now?
I'm primarily a soloist. I sometimes collaborate with other companies. Mm-hmm. I haven't danced with Urban Tribal for a while. I actually prefer dancing with a group or with a partner, but dancing as a soloist has been a really good personal challenge. Mm-hmm. I have a couple students now that we're kind of forming a student troupe.
So you're in LA right now, right?
Yes.
Do you have regular classes out there, or is it kind of like a when you can catch me type thing?
I do. I have weekly classes. I teach 3 weekly classes, and I've been lucky enough to get some pretty good substitute teachers. When I was in Europe in July, Stephen Eggers was one of my subs, which, you know, he's such a great teacher. And it was right before he moved to Mexico, so it was sort of like, get him while you can.
So you were with Urban Tribal for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. You talked about working with Marty Love a lot when you were with Urban Tribal, and that had influenced your style. How did you like working with Marty?
I learned so much about subtlety and the power of subtlety from Marty, because she had these just really feminine isolations, especially all of her shoulder isolations, and even just an angle that she would have. And it would be so subtle, but so powerfully visual. So I just got a lot of stylistic influence from her, and Heather too as well, of course. But Marty just definitely has her own style that she brings to the table, and that's so influential.
When you were talking about collaborations, you mentioned improv, and me and my co-host Tammy are like crazy ATS nuts. Mm-hmm. So do you lean more towards ATS, or do you have a format of ITS that you prefer a lot, or what's your pleasure?
It's more ATS based, mm-hmm. Because that's what my background is, and I think it's so important as someone that calls themselves a tribal fusion dancer that people understand what it is that they're fusing. And so many people say to me, like, oh, I don't want to learn ATS or ITS, I just want to do fusion. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, you know, you really have to know one to be able to do the other. Mm-hmm. It's a progression of that foundation. So I'd love to learn more ITS, but my foundation is ATS, so I definitely do more of that kind of improv. Mostly fusion, mostly choreography, but I like mm-hmm. to go back to my roots too, and I love the connection between mm-hmm. dancers, and that's what attracted me to tribal in the first place. So, and I think that that's been lost a little bit as we get more and more into fusion.
So on the same thread, what do you think about the direction that tribal fusion is taking? Just the different offshoots, like gothic, like burlesque fusion, mm-hmm. and a friend of mine is like ridiculous fusion. There's a lot of ridiculous fusion out there. What is up with that ridiculous fusion? So I promised her I'd ask you about it.
I think it's kind of like anything else that's in the process of evolving. You know, I'm sure even sort of really established art forms like classical ballet had a period of time where that format was being established. And I mm-hmm. think the thing with fusion is that it's going to continue to fuse. So like anything else, there's going to be a lot of experimentation, which I really support, because without experimentation, you can't really know what works and what doesn't work. I guess the only time that it's possibly a detriment to the community is when there's experimentation going on and it's sort of presented as a professional show, mm-hmm. when I think a lot of times the fusion is not its own dance style, it's more of a difference in aesthetic, you mm-hmm. know, or music. As with gothic belly dance, I don't think it's its own style per se of mm-hmm. belly dance. I think it's more of an aesthetic and music that you dance to. And of course, there are different, you know, movements, but there's no sort of style guide or mm-hmm. Alphabet of skill set that is a foundation
right.
for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's interesting. I think any time that there is experimentation going on in fusion, then it's fostering creativity. So mm-hmm. I think that that's good. I used to participate in a show called EMED in Los Angeles, put on by Amara, and it stands for Evening of Experimental Middle Eastern Dance. And it was always just such a dance adventure, and it was really funny. I really enjoyed being in the show and also watching the show, because you would inevitably have this series of different pieces that were so different from one another, and some really worked, some kind of worked, and some were like, what was that? Like, what just happened? But it was great because it was providing a forum for that. Mm-hmm. And even if you know, it was one of those times where you were like, I don't really know what I'm seeing right now, but it's very colorful, and there are lots of feathers.
You're spinning really fast.
Yeah. But at least it's people that are thinking or trying to think outside of the box mm-hmm. that are creative, inspired, you know, in one way or another. You know, and I guess whether or not it worked is kind of in the eye of the beholder.
Speaking of fusing different types of dance, have you ever dabbled in the more classical forms, Egyptian, Turkish, etc.?
I have. You know, I realized that starting in tribal and not necessarily starting in more traditional styles mm-hmm. of dance had left kind of a really big hole in my understanding. And also, it's kind of how I was saying that you can't really have fusion without an understanding of mm-hmm. ATS. And it's a very similar thing where you can't really have tribal without an understanding of the forms of dance that that was derived from.
Right.
And especially with zills and rhythms like Saidi, Belody, Masmudi, I really lacked knowledge of those things. So I kind of had to go back and learn more of those classical styles.
Do you own a full bedla?
I don't. I tried one on before then. It was kind of like trying on a wedding dress, you know? It was like, ooh, I don't know. Like,
if you were going to buy one, what color would the sequins all be?
You know, I've been really intrigued with like a deep teal lately. Or maybe I should just be complete like yin to my current yang and just wear hot pink and a big tiara. Like a three-story tiara.
I was reading the back of one of your cards. Mm-hmm. And it said that you also assist with choreography development. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Usually it starts where they typically have a piece of music mm-hmm. and I ask a lot of questions about, well, what's the overall feel you want the piece to have? Is this, you know, really upbeat? Is it moody? Is it, what's the story? And then what kinds of movements do you want it to be, really slow and gooey and moody, or snappy and tight? So I'll ask a lot of questions on that, and then usually we'll just kind of work together. If it's an existing student of mine, I will tend to at least have some idea over the types of movement that they gravitate towards mm-hmm. and what really like resonates with them. Just see what the music tells us. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's an interesting collaboration. I like those kinds of things because I really prefer choreographing with another person or people mm-hmm. to kind of bounce ideas off of. Sometimes choreographing by myself is more of an extraction if mm-hmm. the music isn't really telling me what to do. There's been times when I had to lock myself in a room for a day and just extract it. Like the Death Eaters in Harry Potter.
You're like, this will happen. This will happen. I must have this choreography in 3 hours.
Yeah. Sometimes it flows and it's so much fun, and sometimes it's like that, but at the same time it's also kind of satisfying because mm-hmm. it's like you really had to work for it.
When you're choreographing to a piece, do you build up a whole story? Do you build up a whole character? Or do you go just emotion-wise?
I use a lot of elements of theater, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like when you're an actor and you, I think the way that it's usually phrased is like, what's my motivation for being there? And I think that's really important too with dance, is what is your motivation for being on stage for this particular piece? And I think that sometimes it's really helpful to kind of create this character or mm-hmm. even different characters within the music that really help you kind of connect. It's a matter of like connecting the music to your body, to the audience, and then all of the energy that's created there. And I find that really helps motivate me. Because sometimes I think, especially soloing, mm-hmm. I get a bit bored with doing that. And so I mm-hmm. kind of have to use these tricks. Like I joke with people that I have this like predatory belly dance where I kind of lock on to someone in the audience and I can see them looking around nervously. Like, should she look at me? I don't know. Should she go over there? I don't know. And almost, yeah, so really like predatory stalking kind of movement. And it's really just kind of a fun way to connect with the audience, and then you get that energy back, and it's kind of playful. Or not. I had one person in an audience once say, like, I didn't know whether to feel seduced or be scared. And I was kind of oddly encouraged by that.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, and because I think it made him think. You mm-hmm. know, he wasn't sort of a passive audience member. Mm-hmm. He was suddenly, like, drawn into what I was doing. And that just makes it more fun for me.
Toying with the audience?
Ultimately, yeah. Yes.
Okay, I heard you talking about taking a break from teaching. Is that true?
Yes. I'm keeping up my weekly classes. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of along the lines of how professors take sabbaticals. Mm-hmm. And they do that for a reason, right? Because they need to sort of recharge. They need to reacquaint themselves with what's out there, and I think I am a performer who's sort of like especially sensitive to burnout because mm-hmm. I give a lot of myself and I really expend a lot of energy when I teach because I think I'm kind of more of an introvert than an extrovert. Uh-huh. So I think what I need to do right now is just, because it's been kind of fast and furious for a while, and I would really just love to be a student for a while. And I'm not going to stop teaching my weekly classes, but I'm pushing back. I'm definitely pushing back on the free gigs. I'm saying no. I'm formulating the words no.
That's good.
A lot more often. And I have to, because I find that I started, like, sacrificing my own sanity to just kind of please everyone else. And it's hard, because you want to do things, but you have to realize that you have an exhaustion level, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard if you say yes to one thing, then it's almost like you have to say yes to every, because otherwise it's like, well, you said yes to this person and I'm your friend too, or I, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So then it's almost like you have to say no across mm-hmm. the board, and it's really hard to strike that balance, I find. I've had a lot of instances like that lately where I just find myself saying, all right, something's got to give. Like, I need to take a step back and then learn to really mm-hmm. Love this again. I want to give 110%. And if I start to feel like I'm not, and I'm not motivated to be there, then I know that I can get it back. It's just that I'm burnt out right now and I need to recharge my creative batteries. And I guess I have a really hard time sometimes just upholding those boundaries and saying no mm-hmm. and pushing back. And so I've had to get a little bit militant about that and just say, no, I'm on lockdown.
Well, sometimes it turns into a job.
It does.
You know, but you want it to be a job that you enjoy.
And that's really hard, is when you take your passion mm-hmm. and you start relying on it for a livelihood, it mm-hmm. changes it. Because it takes it from something that you want to do to something that you have to do. And sometimes that's hard. I mean, obviously, you know, there are people, you know, say, like, well, you're not out there digging ditches. And you know, that's true. That's true. But
I've dug ditches. It's not fun.
Yeah, I have too. I've done construction. Truly. But yeah, but at the same time, I think it's a little bit more of a fragile thing to do, because, like I said, you are prone to burnout when it's something that you care so deeply about and it mm-hmm. is your passion. It's a really kind of sad thing when you don't like doing it anymore, because it's mm-hmm. become more tedious or just one obligation after another. And so I think the way to manage that is to just identify that, take a step back, regroup, whatever you have to do to recharge your creative batteries, and then you will love it again, because you love it intrinsically anyway.
Let's talk costuming. What do you buy and what do you make and who do you love?
I'm really good at embellishing things. Mm-hmm. I'm really bad at sort of starting from scratch. I guess I've been around enough to know what's common and what's not. So now when I sort of spend money, I try and look for things that I don't often see. Yeah, I love Kathleen, not only for the style, but also for the quality. Mm-hmm. Her stuff does not fall apart. She really knows what she's doing. There are a lot of costumers out there where things are glue gunned together.
Awesome.
You know, and yeah.
That no-so glue tape stuff.
Yeah. So Sweet. Since I am as hard on my costumes as, like, a toddler in a playground, I really need them to be sturdy as well. Mm-hmm. So let's see, who else? Oh, Lee Key from Foolproof, also amazing. She does a lot of work with old flapper costumes and the really intricate beading, and she's making beautiful sort of Muga-esque head pieces and little hand pieces, and it's also really quality. I should be sponsored by Melodia. Lord knows I have spent enough money. Right now, I have amassed quite a collection of mm-hmm. just chain and different bits that I just need to add to things. Mm-hmm. And so I am on lockdown of buying anything else until I actually do something with the stuff that I have. So that is my goal for the next couple months.
Well, once you are off your sabbatical, do you have any professional goals that you're sort of, like, you know, 5-year, 10-year plan, what you'd like to be doing by then?
I would love to make my own instructional DVDs, because it's something that I want to have creative control over. Mm-hmm. I think that what happens is that when you make an instructional DVD, it tends to be geared towards the biggest audience, so mm-hmm. that means that they tend to be a little bit more general skill level. So I would love to do more advanced choreographies, because mm-hmm. I think that the community has been around a while now, that they're kind of, you know, like, okay, there's a saturation of, like, the
beginnings.
Basics.
Yeah.
That and just seeing as much of the world as I can. I've had the opportunity to go to South Africa and Prague and Scotland and France, all through dance, and that's been, you know, amazing. So I would love to see the rest of the world, or as much of the world as I possibly can before, you know, I'm old and decrepit. I don't know. I would love to start a dance studio with some partners. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something I would want to completely take on myself. I think the style that I teach is really empowering to women, and I think that that's something that is especially needed in Los Angeles, which is like the house of mirrors. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my classes can be a sanctuary where women can come and learn to, you know, feel good about themselves and accept themselves and for their differences and try and undo everything else that has been force-fed down your throat in Los Angeles every day and all over the place, you know. But it just, there, it's sort of particularly a culture that worships youth and completely unrealistic standards of beauty.
Is there anything else that you want to share with our dance community?
I think it's really easy for students to get discouraged early on because I think there's sort of this attitude of people that think that belly dance is a lot easier than it actually is. Yes. And so I always tell my students it's really important to just be patient with yourself and enjoy the process. And I know that you want to get there and get that bigger range of motion or, you know, whatever it is, but the process is part of the enjoyment, and this is something that you earn, you know. And I see people getting really discouraged and a little bit defeated because they want to just get there, and that's just such the American culture too, is like that instant gratification. And so I encourage people to be, you know, patient. I always say, like, you know, Baryshnikov didn't take 3 ballet classes and, you know, perform the Nutcracker, right? So why do we expect that to happen in belly dance? There's so much conditioning and strength training, and my whole body has completely changed since I've been belly dancing. And so I see people getting discouraged, and I just want to, you know, like, hold their hand and just be like, don't give up, you know, don't get down on it. It's you'll get there. Just enjoy the process. Don't beat yourself up. Just have fun, you know, but work, you know, it's something that you earn. And I think that that's really important. It's not about putting on a costume, you know, it's about, like, earning your skill.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry, for being on your podcast.
Thank you, Mary. I enjoyed it.
And I know you have not listened to our podcast before, so you don't know that we always ask our guests to give us their best yip at the end.
Oh, okay. Never mind. All right. Yip!
And there you have it. She sounds really nice. She is super nice.
She sounds like it. I wish I would have met her.
She probably would have been really nice to you, too. Probably.
I guess we'll never know.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. I guess we'll never know. It's cool she used to dance with Urban Tribal. Because they were a huge influence on me pursuing tribal style fusion dance.
And I think what she said to the community is definitely true, that people tend to get into belly dance and just think it's going to be really easy. And it's not. It's not. Otherwise, people wouldn't be doing it for years and years and years.
I mean, just like anything else, bad belly dance is really easy. Maybe you just want to put on a corn scarf and shake your butt. That's really easy. I mean, unless you have no joints. Because then it's hard. But in general, shaking your butt is pretty easy. But
I do it all
the
time.
Isolating it. It's not as easy as it looks. Do you know what I'm saying, Tammy? Are we on the same page? Are you just sitting there and laughing at me?
Apparently I'm tired. You know, this 4 hours of sleep stuff, I don't know why I would feel tired afterward.
I don't know either. I agree. It's a very good point. You know, people come and they're like excited and they want to wear costumes and they realize that their arms are going to hurt and their legs are going to hurt. And what? We have to do that drilling? Drilling is not fun. Can we just put on a costume and dance and look pretty? I want to put on a bindi. I don't want to have to sweat.
Ooh, if I could not sweat, that'd be awesome.
Sorry, Tammy.
I sweat all the time.
Man up.
you know, metaphorically speaking. Don't be a man, because I've known you as a woman for too long. It'd be weird. This is getting really weird really fast. And I was having such a nice happy glow thinking about Sherry Wheatley and her comments on the community and trying hard. And
now you're thinking of me being a man.
No, not you. I don't know what's going on in there. Gross. Let's move on. Tammy. You know what? I'm just going to introduce my own self. Tammy. Tammy says, Mary, do you have a second music selection? Well, yes, I do. Tammy, thank you for asking. So, our second music selection, you actually heard parts of these songs a couple weeks ago as some of our additional music, but this CD is called Flamenco Arab. There's also a Flamenco Arab 2, which came out after this one. And it's a collaboration between Hossam Ramzi and Rafael Tachuela, who is a German flamenco artist. Interesting. And and if you don't recognize the name Hossam Ramzi, then hello, what rock have you been hiding underneath? But we also referenced Hossam Ramzi at least one other time in the program because he collaborated on a CD that we featured with Phil Thornton called Immortal Egypt. So he's back from outer space and collaborating with this other guy, Rafael Tachuela.
He's a collaborating king.
He's a collaborative fool. Woo! And this the CD, Flamenco Arab, came out in 2003. I really liked this CD. I'll be honest, some of the songs were a bit too flamenco-y for me to belly dance to.
Yeah, I agree.
Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy them, but they were like so flamenco-y that I felt like I should be doing straight up flamenco to this.
Castanet, castanet.
It's hard to say castanet really fast because you lose that next T. Yeah. The three songs that Tammy helped me pick and Bethany,
yes,
are their Cracked Pot team member. They all helped me pick songs today. The three that we picked definitely lean more towards the Middle Eastern flavor. Some of the songs were super flamenco, some were sort of super Middle Eastern, and then some were a harmonious balance between the two. We are kicking things off with Rumbapa. Rumbapa? Rumbapa? Which sounds a little more on the flamenco-y end, but we were very fond of it. The second song is called Men El Belad. I really like this one. I think it would really suit for an awesome, awesome soloist. It's like 8 minutes long, egad. Obviously, you can trim it if you need to. But especially the beginning, it had some nice variety. The first minute, like solid minute and 1 second perhaps, was this really slow tuxedo type thing going on, which would be nice. Walk in, you got your veil, swishy, swishy.
Yeah.
Sultry, sultry, look at my smooth layback, la-da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. And then the beat kicks in like right at the 1 minute mark and has this nice steady kind of groovy beat going on for the rest of the song. And the third one that we're going to finish with is from the Silk Route Suite. There were four songs in the Silk Route Suite. Or is it Route? I don't know. The Silk Route Suite, the one that we liked was called Egyptian. Had some nice drums in it.
Yes, it did.
And we're going to hear those three songs right now. little bit of Egyptian, a little bit of flamenco, and
a lot of fun.
Oh my god. <Ba-dum-bum>. That's all I have to say about that. I like them all. It's a good CD. I think I do like the second one the best, the Mena El Balad. I just like the variety. And I know in that 30 second snippet, it's really hard to hear the variety because it's a really long song. But trust me, it's there. I wouldn't lie to you. But did you like any of them? Or just
I liked
Snarky Face 4?
You wouldn't lie to them.
Okay, well, I deserve that. I'm sorry, listeners. If I've lied to you,
it's only for your own good.
Can't even keep it straight in my head anymore. I don't even know who I am.
Well, I liked Rumbaba.
You just like saying it.
It's true. I do.
At least you're honest.
No, but that you played that song, and because we played one song that I wasn't like, man, you know, I didn't really feel it out, you know, I wasn't too excited about it. And then you played this one, and like right away I was like, I like this song. And I think you thought I was messing with you, and I was like, no, really, I like this song. You're like, sure. But it was good, I liked it.
Whatever. So, hey Tammy.
Yeah?
What's your sign?
Capricorn. I think that's why I'm organized. Is that I'm a type A personality? I think that's Capricorn.
I
have no clue.
So not a type A. I am a Sagittarius, and I really don't know anything about that. Although yeah. I said that to someone who's into that, and they were like, "You are such a typical Sagittarius," and I didn't know what to say because I didn't know what that meant.
I just make it all up. I'm just like, yeah, see, I'm a Capricorn, and so I do this. I don't know if it actually has anything to do with it or not.
Like, I'm a Sagittarius, and that's why I'm tall.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sagittarius, that's why I like books about vampires. So it's not me, it's like my sign.
I have to be in the vampires. I don't even want to be.
I know, initially I fought it, but I was like, fine, I'll watch True Blood. It's hard when you have to fight against your own nature. Like vampires have to fight against their own nature.
You're like kindred spirits.
I know, right?
Oh my god.
Okay, so, but seriously, Tammy, what's going on around town? Or something, whatever. What's going on around town?
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, let's start with this weekend. August 12th through the 14th in St. Petersburg, Florida, Hip Expressions is hosting an intensive with Mira Betts, who we have had on the program.
True dat.
Also, August 12th through 14th in Portland, Oregon, there is a set of workshops going on called Jambala Northwest. I just like the name, Jambala.
Sounds like jambalaya, which makes me hungry.
I don't know. But anyway.
I like jambalaya because I'm a Sagittarius.
So at this workshop, they're going to have Suhaila's going to be there, Amil Tafsut, Darshan. There's like a whole list of dancers. I was like, why did I not know about this event? Anywho, those Portland people, wild, I tell you, wild. August 13th in Seattle, Washington, Hands of Kali, they're going to be opening their new space, Tin Can Studio. I love that name.
That sounds awesome. Yay, so Kendra.
To kick off their grand opening, they're going to have a party featuring Grace Constantine. So I hope you guys have fun at your party.
Party.
And congratulations on the opening of your studio. Woot. August 17th through the 21st in San Francisco, California is San Francisco Mecca Immersion. Basically, they have all the teachers in the San Francisco area for a few days. So, of course, Carolina will be instructing Cami Little and Joe Parker and a bunch of people that are all in the San Francisco area. Like, that list could go on forever. And I won't, so you can just look on their website.
Fine.
August 18th through the 21st in Grapevine, Texas is Yahali, y'all. I loved that event last year, and I love saying it this year.
Is it y'all holla y'all? Y'all holla y'all?
Y'all holla y'all.
Y'all holla y'all. Y'all holla y'all.
Yep.
That is so much fun.
Let's see. Ava Fleming will be instructing, Mariah Chappelle and Kareem Nagy, as well as, I'm sure, a bunch of other people. There's all these events have like 20 people listed. I'm just like, I'm picking the top three names that show up. August 19th in Orlando, Florida, Jessica Belly Dance will be here.
Yay.
So Lisa Stern's going to host a benefit for Diane Black. So please come and support your dance community. And then also that weekend, Jessica Belly Dance will be having, I think, a couple workshops. So
yes.
So I'm very excited. I hope we get to like hook up with her. So
you want to hook up with Jessica Belly Dance?
I totally do.
I'm telling you.
That'll be on a t-shirt. Okay,
because you're a Capricorn?
Yes, exactly.
Hussy. Yeah. That's typical Capricorn.
Always hussified. August 20th in Phoenix, Arizona, Maheen presents Completely Classics 3, live music and professional performances. August 20th also in Baltimore, Maryland, Kalista Tribal, they're once again going to be hosting their Inappropriate Hofla.
Yay!
I cannot wait to see the videos.
Wonderful time of the year.
One day we will go. We will go, totes.
Okay, awesome.
September 2nd through the 5th in Atlanta, Georgia is Dragon Con. Our friend Carol, aka Phoenicia, will be instructing there.
True dat.
True dat. I really want to go to Dragon Con.
Have you been to Dragon Con?
No, I still want to go.
I've been twice.
For reals?
Yeah.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
You know, they have like a whole Whedon panel there.
The thing about Dragon Con is it was like really fun, but I'm not actually enough of a geek about
anything in particular.
Anything to like justify. Like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, Doctor Who, or
yeah,
oh my gosh, Joss Whedon, or oh my gosh, Buffy. You know, like, there's nothing. But you, of course, would like,
and that's Mecca. Why. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, Dragon Con to me just seems like such an amazing con with like so many cool panels and oh. September 2nd through 5th in Miami, Florida is the Miami Belly Dance Convention. I can't believe like we're already at that time of the year again.
I know. Especially because Sherry's interview was from last year at Miami Belly Dance Convention. It took us a year to roll that around. But it's just the nature of the beast. You get like 8 interviews in one weekend and it takes some time to get them out. Especially if you're really a procrastinator. Although Sunshine has told me it's not that I'm a procrastinator. That's not, it's that I'm putting lots of time and precision into each thing I do.
Don't let Sunshine fill your head with those lies, Mary. You're a procrastinator.
I don't want to be, but I'm a Sagittarius. That's just who I am.
Exactly. So some of the instructors will be Natalie, who I think she's actually even the one that...
She's the organizer.
Organizer, yeah.
She's very petite and cute.
Arish Lam, I love him. He's like this male belly dancer from Puerto Rico, and he's awesome. And then Lacey. Lacey's going to be instructing them.
I know, I'm excited she's going back to my belly dance convention.
Very cool.
For reals.
And the last event I will be speaking of this evening... September 8th through the 11th in Las Vegas, Nevada is the Belly Dance Intensive Festival. Ariella will be instructing Christina King, Jill Parker, and so many more. I want to go to an event in Vegas. There's so many events I want to go to. This is ridiculous. All right, so that's what's going on around town.
All right.
I didn't know how to end that. Sorry. So that's our events for this go-round, and you can find out all the links on those at www.yippodcast.com. Also on our website, you can click to join our email list where you can get up-to-date information on our Around Town events. You can contact us via email at email@yippodcast.com. You can Skype us at yippodcast or call us at 321-441-3933 and leave us a message. You can go to our tribes, tribes.tribe.net, or you can join us on Facebook.
That's true.
You can. We're there. Totes.
I'm on Facebook a lot.
Too much.
It's how I procrastinate.
See, I'm on Twitter more often than Facebook. Well, at least that's where I post everything.
Everyone has their vices.
I know.
It could be worse.
So anyway, for this episode of Yip Podcast, this has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Yip! See, I've just decided I want one of those cars that parallel parks for you. I'm like, how does it do that?
Magic.
That's what I think. I'm like, I don't know. It's a magic car. What else does it do?
It sells your soul to the devil.
That's what I'm wondering. Awkward.
But you know.
So, anywho, that's
if it's worth the price, it's your call.
I think it totally is.
I gotta pay for that later. You know what I mean?
If a car just shows up in my driveway, oops.
No. Here's a present for you. Sign this paper.
In blood.
So you say things like that, and then we become the morning show that I was worried about. A little bit of flamenco, a little bit of Egyptian, a lot of fun. Oh no, that's like an infomercial. That's totally different. I don't mind being an infomercial.
Like really travel, like outside of the state, like possibly on a plane.
On a bird or a plane or a Superman.
Superman would be awesome.
It'd probably be cheaper than a plane.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like if we were friends, we were just like, hey, Superman.
Well, yeah, for friends, it's different.
But I was just thinking like, I don't think he'd rent himself out.
He'd
be so tawdry.
Superman's a whore.
He's a Capricorn.